السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخنا.
يا عبد الرحمن، كيف الحال؟
الحمد لله يا شيخنا.
نستمر بالدرس.
نعم يا شيخنا.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا.
السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخنا.
آمين. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. In the last class we ended the chapter about ash-shahna, when an individual is full of grudge, he harbors ill feelings about his brother or about his sister in the religion. We mentioned that it is prohibited in Islam for a person to have deep-seated ill will against his brother. He does not distance himself from him, but he is full of hatred against him. He is full of grudges against him. He is full of envy against him. We read all the ahadith in that chapter yesterday, even though we had started with some of them in the past classes. We revised them and completed them yesterday. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify our hearts from this disease of ash-shahna, like we said at the beginning of that class. Ash-shahna was picked from that word ash-shahan, like loading something, filling up something. So when a person fills his mind with spite, he fills his mind with enmity, he fills up his mind with hatred and grudge against his brother. It is as if he pumped those things into his mind. So we say he has ash-shahna. May Allah purify our hearts away from this disease, the disease of nothing and harboring grudges and ill will against our brother. And as we responded to a question yesterday during the classes, one of the ways to be free from grudge and ill feelings is we all should get busy with the things that concern us and leave away things that only little concern us or doesn't even concern us at all. Then the individual should be prayerful to sustain a clean mind. And sometimes if something happens between yourself and your brother, put it on the table. Something happens between yourself and your brother, put it on the table. Be ready to discuss it. Put it on the table. Ah, Abu Abdurrahman, Abu Abdullah, Abu Abdul Fattah, you did so to me. Put it on the table. Let him address it. If your sister offends you, put it on the table. Let her address it. If your co-wife offends you, put it on the table. You did so and so to me. Address it, so that your mind finds rest. And if you think it should not be addressed, a bigger thing you can do so that you do not become someone who has ash-shahna is that you make al-af, you forgive the person, you pardon the person, even without putting it on the table. So you either put it on the table for a discussion, or you pardon the individual. someone offends you, put it on the table. If you don't want to put it on the table, forgive him for the sake of Allah. This is what the Quran refers to as wal'afina 'anil nas. When in Surah Ali Imran, it describes people who are muttaqun. From the ways of the people of righteousness is that they pardon the people. Someone offends them. Someone becomes aggressive against them. They pardon. They overlook. They pardon him. So they do not act directly to him. They may not even ask him. And then they respond with goodness. That is a bigger and much more rewarding status. So the best status when someone offends you is that you return his ill, his negative behavior, you return it with goodness. And you pardon him. You don't pay back evil with evil. You do good to him after he had offended you. The second category to that is that you pardon him without asking him and without returning evil for evil. The third is that you put it on the table. Let us discuss this matter. My brother, you did so and so and so yesterday. Oh, sorry. And then the matter ends there. So, but to go back and begin to nurse grudge, begin to nurse hatred against your brother, this is wrong. One of the worst things that will happen to you if you are a person who harbors grudges against your brother is that on the day of Monday and on the day of Thursday, when Allah forgives the sins of people who do not commit shirk, you will not be forgiven. Why? You have grudges inside your mind. You have hatred inside your mind. You have envy inside your mind against your brother. So that will prevent you from gaining forgiveness from Allah that you should have gained out of His mercy. So it means that shahna, to begrudge your brother, is a very, very big evil. And then from the things we understand from human behavior is that when you begrudge somebody, you also come back to be the one offending that person. When you begrudge somebody, later you'll be the one to offend him, especially if the person does not know that he had offended you. So for the sake of Allah, someone offends you, someone was aggressive to you, someone was abusive to you, tell him, put it on the table. If you are not ready to tell him and put it on the table for a discussion, then forgive him for the sake of Allah. And as you forgive him and pardon him, Allah will forgive you and pardon you too. I beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to pardon all of us and forgive our mistakes and purify our hearts. Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah followed the chapter about ash-shahna. He followed it with another chapter that is connected to the discussion. He said, rahimahullah, Babun inna salama yujzi'u min as-sarmi. Inna salam yujzi'u min as-sarmi. As-sarmu is al-qatr. When a brother disconnects from a brother, two brothers have a feud. The other one, after perhaps the matter was discussed, the other one still disconnects from his brother. How does the disconnection end? I have had to answer this question a number of times. People ask you, you have a difference with your brother. How do you start? How do you start and end to that feud, to that disagreement? Do you understand? There's a disagreement. How do you end it? What is it that you will do that when you do it, Allah forgives you the sin of having quarreled and disconnected from yourself? When you quarrel and disconnect from yourself, there is as-sarm. And we know that as-sarm, disagreement and disconnection, for more than 3 days, is a sin. So now it happens. A brother disconnects from his brother for more than 3 days. What will he do for him to gain forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those sins he commits, for coming into a disconnection from his brother for more than 3 days? How does he start another life? And how does he atone for what had gone past? Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Inna salam, as for at-taslim, where you say to your brother, As-salamu alaykum, yujzi'u min as-sarmi, it suffices, it atones for the evil, the sins of that period of disconnection. I hope that this chapter heading is clear. Inna salam, where you say taslim to your brother, As-salamu alaykum, and then he returns it, Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah, yujzi'u min as-sarmi. It suffices for the evils that have been committed during the time when the two of you had disconnected from your brother. So this makes us understand that, yes, we have said that disconnection is bad. We have said that ashahna is bad. Begrudging your brother is bad. When it happens, how do you end it? And how do you atone for what you have done before? You atone for what you have done before by saying taslim to your brother, and by his replying your taslim. By that, bi'idhnillah, you get atonement for the sins that you had committed as a result of that disconnection and that negative behavior between yourself and then your brother. So when you say assalamu alaikum to him, and he says wa alaikum assalam in response to it, the matter becomes over, bi'idhnillah. And then your sins that you committed as a result of disconnecting from yourselves becomes forgiven by the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is what we are discussing in this chapter. Perhaps someone will ask, how do we now atone? Me, I have been in disconnection from my co-wife since 3 years ago. How do I atone for it? Al-Imam al-Bukhari has given you a chapter heading and has brought a hadith under it. All you need today is to say what? As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. That's all. And then the person too should reply and say what? Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. That's all. And then your relationship continues upon goodness. So in this chapter heading, it says, Babun inna salama yujzi'u min as-sarm. The chapter that tells us that as-salam, saying the taslim, yujzi'u min as-sarm, it atones and suffices for what had gone during the time of disconnection and quarrel. Under it, the hadith comes as hadith 414. Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, in his book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, he said, Haddathana Ismail ibn Abi Uwais, Qala haddathani Muhammad ibn Hilal ibn Abi Hilal, Mawla Abi Ka'bin al-Mazhiji, an Abihi annahu سمع أبا هريرة رضي الله عنه قال سمعت النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يقول لا يحل لرجل أن يهجر مؤمنا فوق 3 أيام لا يحل لرجل أن يهجر مؤمنا فوق 3 أيام فإذا مرت 3 أيام فليلقه به فليسلم فإذا مرت 3 أيام فليلقه فليسلم عليه فإن رد عليه السلام فقد اشتركا في الأجر وإن لم يرد عليه فقد برئ المسلم من الهجرة لا يحل لرجل أن يهجر مؤمنا فوق 3 أيام فإذا مرت 3 أيام فليلقه فليسلم عليه فإن رد عليه السلام فقد استرك في الأجر وإن لم يرد عليه فقد برئ المسلم من الهجرة. الإمام البخاري reports this hadith from his sheikh الإمام إسماعيل ابن أبي أويس. إسماعيل ابن أبي أويس is the nephew of Al-Imam Malik. The sister of Al-Imam Malik is the mother of Ismail ibn Abi Uwais, the sister of Al-Imam Malik, the Imam of Dar al-Hijra, the Imam of Medina, rahimahullah, Abu Abdullah. His sister is the mother of Ismail ibn Abi Uwais. We have read a number of his ahadith from this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. So Al-Imam al-Bukhari reports a hadith from him. He said, حَدَّثَنَا إِسْمَعِيلُ إِبْنُ أَبِي أُوَيْسٍ قَالَ إِسْمَعِيلُ إِبْنُ أَبِي أُوَيْسٍ said, حَدَّثَنِي مُحَمَّدِ إِبْنُ هِلَالِ إِبْنِ أَبِي هِلَالِ مُحَمَّدْ إِبْنُ هِلَالِ Ibn Abi Hilal. Muhammad ibn Hilal reports is the teacher of Ismail ibn Abi Uwais in this hadith. The sheikh of Ismail ibn Abi Uwais in this hadith is Muhammad ibn Hilal, ibn Abi Hilal. And he was Mawla ibn Ka'b al-Madhiji. Muhammad was Mawla ibn Ka'b al-Madhiji. They were free slave to them. They have al-wala'u with Ka'b al-Madhiji. That was a tribe. So the sheikh of Ismail ibn Abi Uwais in this hadith was Muhammad ibn Hilal ibn Abi Hilal, Mawla ibn Ka'b al-Madhiji. Al-Madhiji. And Muhammad was reporting this hadith from his father. His father is Hilal ibn Abi Hilal. The father of Muhammad in this hadith was Hilal. And that was Hilal ibn Abi Hilal. Hilal ibn Abi Hilal, if you look on the screen, you'll find that this hadith is mentioned to be da'if, weak. Why? Hilal ibn Abi Hilal laysa bil mashhur. Hilal ibn Abi Hilal laysa bil mashhur. He is not so known to be a trustworthy reporter of hadith. Who is that? Abu Muhammad Hilal ibn Abi Hilal. The scholars of hadith say that laysa bil mashhur. He is not well known to be a trustworthy reporter of hadith. And Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah, said regarding him, La a'rifuhu. La a'rifuhu. I do not know him. Meaning that his condition and his ability to correctly report a hadith is unknown. His hal is unknown. We don't know Hilal ibn Abi Hilal. When any reporter in the chain of report of a hadith is unknown, that hadith is graded weak until we find a corroborating evidence. When we don't know a reporter from the chain of report, the hadith is not graded authentic. Why? We don't know who is this person. Who is this? So until we are able to ascertain the religiosity and the ability to report a hadith with accuracy of that individual, and we find both of them appropriate, that's when we say, oh, this reporter of hadith is known, a seeker, is a reliable reporter of hadith. So Hilal ibn Abi Hilal is an unknown reporter of hadith. And he is the one who has said, Annahu Sami'a Aba Huraira Tayakul. It was Hilal ibn Abi Hilal who said that he heard Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reporting from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are some others amongst the scholars of hadith who say that we know Hilal ibn Abi Hilal. We know his name. We know his son. We know that he actually was a student of Abu Huraira. Yes, we have a few information regarding him. So if we have another hadith, another report showing that what he has reported is sound and correct, then the hadith will move up in its status. The status of that hadith will change. And that's why some other scholars like Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, in Fathul Bari, amongst the scholars of the past, it was also mentioned that Al-Imam al-Nawawi had graded this hadith to be authentic. And amongst the scholars of our time, Al-Shaykh Abdullah ibn Abdul Rahman al-Sa'd, he also mentioned that this hadith can be supported with other corroborating hadith to make it a hadithun hasanun. This hadith, yes, this isnad has some sort of a weakness. What is the weakness? We don't know the condition of Hilal ibn Abi Hilal, apart from the fact that he reported hadith from Abu Huraira, and he was the father of Muhammad. Muhammad is well known, but his father, Abu Hilal ibn Abi Hilal, was not well known. So it's not so bad. But can we find another evidence, another hadith, whose meaning conforms with the meaning of this hadith that Hilal ibn Abi Hilal has reported? The scholars say, yes, we find. And if we actually go back to hadith 402 in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, and others also mentioned a hadith in Sahih Muslim, you find that the meaning of the hadith is sound, even though one of the reporters in the chain of reports is not well known. That shows that, yes, he's not well known to be a trustworthy reporter of hadith. But other hadiths show that the meaning of what he has reported is sound. So they would grade that hadith to be hasanun li ghayrihi. From amongst those who did that was Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar in Fathul Bari. From amongst the scholars of our time, Sheikh Abdullah ibn Abdul Rahman al-Sa'd in his copy of Al-Adab al-Mufrad. We also have one of the scholars, Al-Shaykh Muhammad ibn Mahmud al-Iskandari, Muhammad ibn Mahmud al-Iskandari, in his copy of Zawa'idu al-Adab al-Mufrad al-Sahihain. He has a book, Zawa'idu al-Adab al-Mufrad al-Sahihain. Those hadith that are in Al-Adab al-Mufrad that are not in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. In that work, he also graded this hadith to be sahih. So the least thing we can say about this hadith is that this isnad is isnadun da'ifun, as Al-Imam Al-Albani has said, rahimahullah. But the meaning of the hadith is sound. How do we know? It occurs from other chains, other hadiths, that the meaning of this hadith is sound. So that is the least thing we can say otherwise. We have others amongst the scholars of hadith who have graded this hadith to be sound, like Ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, and before him, Al-Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah. So we are dealing with a hadith that is sound, inshallah. In it, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, سمعت النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يقول I heard the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم saying that لا يحل لرجل أن يهجر مؤمنا فوق ثلاثة أيام لا يحل لرجل أن يهجر مؤمنا فوق ثلاثة أيام It is not lawful لا يحل It is not lawful for a man, any individual. It is not lawful for an individual. أَنْ يَهْجُرَ مُؤْمِنًا فَوْقَ ثَلَاثَةِ أَيَّامٍ to set aside, to disconnect from and abandon a person of Iman, a Muslim. Don't abandon a Muslim for more than 3 days. There's a disagreement between the two of you. Don't set a Muslim aside. We have repeatedly read a hadith with this meaning, that Islam prohibits setting aside a Muslim for more than 3 days. We have also explained what and in which circumstance can a Muslim be set aside. I hope that we have not forgotten. A Muslim can be set aside for more than 3 days. If he becomes a sinful Muslim, he can be set aside. And the people of innovations, they can be set aside for more than 3 days. As we have in the hadith of Ka'b ibn Malik, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam set aside Ka'b ibn Malik for 50 days. A father can also set aside the son for some days. Abdullah ibn Umar set aside his son, Bilal. In fact, till he passed away. The same thing applies to Abdullah ibn Mughaffal. In the case of Abdullah ibn Mughaffal, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was alive. But the case of Abdullah ibn Umar, when he set aside his son, he said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, La tamna'u ima Allah masajid Allah. Don't prevent the female servants of Allah to come to the mosques of Allah. Those mosques belong to Allah. So allow the female servants of Allah to come. So Abdullah said, I won't allow my wife because things have changed. So the ruling has to change. Abdullah ibn Umar said to him, I say to you that the Prophet said you should not do this, and you are telling me you will do it. I will never speak to you again. So he set aside his son, Bilal. The same thing happened to Abdullah ibn Mughaffal regarding his son. We also remember the hadith of Aisha and Abdullah ibn Zubair. When Abdullah ibn Zubair made that statement regarding Aisha, Aisha should be careful. Otherwise, I will take over her property and I will not allow her to spend money anyhow. She distanced herself from Abdullah ibn Zubair. So in circumstances where people become sinful, or in circumstances where people become people of innovations, or in circumstances where a husband disciplines the wife, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam disconnected from his wife for about a month. In fact, for a full month. And that month was 29 days. We had explained all these things in the past. We are just recalling them for the purpose of revision. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, La yahillu li rajulin an yahjura mu'minan fawqa thalathati ayyam. It is not lawful for an individual an yahjura mu'minan to disconnect from another believer for more than 3 days. Don't do it. Yourself and your co-wife, you have a disagreement. And then you disconnect from her. Don't let it be for more than 3 days. You have a colleague at the place of work. You have a disagreement. You disconnect from him because you are angry. Celebrate your anger within 3 days. Don't let it be more than that. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَإِذَا مَرَّتْ ثَلَاثَةُ أَيَّامٍ فَلْيَلْقَهُ فَلْيُسَلِّمْ عَلَيْهِ فَإِذَا مَرَّتْ ثَلَاثَةُ أَيَّامٍ When 3 days now pass, فَلْيُسَلِّمْ عَلَيْهِ The Muslim should say taslim to his brother. So you disconnect from your brother. You know that this brother has disconnected from you. He's angry with you. After 3 days, فَلْيُسَلِّمْ عَلَيْهِ The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَلْيَلْقَهُ Let him go and meet him. Someone disconnects from you. Go and meet him. If it goes past 3 days, go and meet him. سَلِّمْ عَلَيْهِ Say the salam to him. Assalamu alaykum. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, فَإِنْ رَدَّ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ فَقَدْ اشْتَرَكَ فِي الْأَجْرِ فإيه رد عليه السلام فقد اشترك في الأجر. If he returns the salam to him, فقد اشترك في الأجر. The two of them will jointly enjoy the rewards of reconciliation. اشترك, they come together في الأجر in terms of the reward. Reward for what? Reward for reconciliation. A brother annoys you. A sister annoys you. Your colleague annoys you in the place of work, in the classroom. Your neighbor annoys you. Your relative, your blood brother annoys you. After 3 days, meet him and say, Salaam alaikum. Say the taslim. Fa'in radda alayhi salam. If that second person replies the salam, فَقَدْ اشْتَرَكَ فِي الْأَجْرِ, the two of them have combined, they have joined together to earn from the rewards of what? Reconciling themselves. If you come back to Hadith 402, you will see that this Hadith has a meaning, and that meaning is corroborated in other authentic Hadiths. If we come back to Hadith 402 that we had read, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا يحل لمسلمين أن يصارم مسلما فوق ثلاث. لا يحل لمسلمين. This time from the hadith of Anas ibn Malik. It says, لا يحل لمسلمين أن يصارم مسلما فوق ثلاث. It is not lawful for a Muslim. أن يقاطع. It says, أن يصارم أن يقاطع. It is not lawful for a Muslim to disconnect from another Muslim for more than 3 days. فَإِنَّهُمَا, because the two of them in disconnection from themselves, نَاكِبَانِ عَنِ الْحَكِّ مَا دَامَا عَلَى صِرَامِهِمَا, the two of them are away from the truth. فَإِنَّهُمَا نَاكِبَانِ يعني فَإِنَّهُمَا زَائِلَانِ, the two of them are inclined away anil haq, from what is right. Madama ala siramihima, as long as they remain upon their muqata, as long as they remain disconnecting from themselves. It now says, wa inna awwalahuma fai'a yakunu kafaratan anhu sabquhu bil fai, the one who will gain the much reward, and his reward will be a means of cancelling the sin of disconnection, is the first one who quickly attains goodness. The first one who quickly attains goodness is the one who quickly comes and says, Assalamu alaikum. Further in that hadith, he says, وَإِن سَلَّمْ عَلَيْهِ فَأَبَى أَنْ يَقْبَلَ تَسْلِيمَهُ وَسَلَامَهُ رَدَّ عَلَيْهِ الْمَلَكِ. Because as we have said, if you want the matter to end, we read in this hadith, the hadith we are reading today, hadith 414. It says, you should go and meet him and say, Taslim, Abi. If he goes to meet him and he says, Taslim, and that one does not answer, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, رَدَّ عَلَيْهِ الْمَلَكِ, an angel replies you. So don't say, if I go to him and say, assalamu alaykum, if he does not answer, what will happen? رَدَّ عَلَيْكَ الْمَلَكِ, an angel will reply. But if he says the taslim to you and you reply, the two of you will share in the rewards of reconciliation. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, in our hadith, hadith 414, فَإِذَا مَرَّتْ ثَلَاثَةُ أَيَّامٍ, when 3 days go past, after 3 days, فَلْيَلْقَهُ فَلْيُسَلِّمْ عَلَيْهِ, let him go and meet his brother and say the taslim to him. فَإِنْ رَدَّ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ, if the second brother replies the salam, فَقَدْ اشْتَرَكَ فِي الْأَجْرِ, the two of them have shared in the rewards of reconciliation. Don't forget, we said that the first person to say taslim in the last hadith, in hadith 402, he gets an atonement for his sin. So alishtiraku fil ajri is that the two of them become forgiving. The two of them become forgiving. If the second person replies the taslim, ishtaraka fil ajri, the two of them, they gain atonement for the sins. What was the sin? They have disconnected from themselves for more than 3 days. If you disconnect from your brother for more than 3 days, you become sinful. How do you atone for that sin? You atone for the sin by saying taslim to yourselves. If the two of you reply, you say the taslim and reply the taslim, you have joined in the reward of atonement. Allah will forgive you your sins because you have reconciled. But if you say taslim to him, assalamu alaikum, and he looks at you, some brothers are like that. So tough in their minds. They look at you and they look away. Don't worry. Radda alayka al-malak. An angel will reply that you're taslim. Maybe the reply of the angel is even better than his own. So radda alayka al-malak. The angel will reply your taslim. But fa'in radda alayhi salam. But if the brother replies your taslim, faqad ishtaraka fil ajri, you and the two of you, your sins will be forgiven. You have joined in the rewards for reconciliation. And the reward for reconciliation, one of it is that the sin of distancing yourself itself will be forgiven bi idhnillah. And then in this report it says, wa in lam yarudda alayhi. Again, if he does not reply, faqad bari al muslimu min al hijra. The one who said taslim, he has exited disconnect. He's no more sinning. The one who said taslim, even though the brother does not reply, you are not committing sin again. He's the one that is only alone in the sin of disconnecting from your brother. So a brother in a feud with another brother, you have 3 days to celebrate that feud. You have 3 days to celebrate your anger. By the end of the third day, you must come back upon reconciliation. If you don't come back upon reconciliation, the two of you are wrong. The two of you have started committing sins. So if you ask, how do you come out of that sin? By saying taslim to yourselves. If he says, one of you, the first person who says taslim is the first person to gain the reward for reconciliation. Now, if the second person replies, the two of them become forgiving for the sin of distancing themselves from one another. If the second person does not reply, radda alayka al-malak, an angel will answer your taslim, waqad bari'ita min al-hijra, and you would have exited, you have exited that sin of distancing from your brother. You left him there. But if he replies, the two of you have left this connection, and then you gain the rewards of connecting between yourselves. I hope that this hadith is clear. This is how to start again. Women ask this question a lot. How do I start again with the sister? We have quarreled. So how do you start? You start with a taslim. And don't be afraid if you want to say taslim. If I say taslim and she doesn't answer, uncle, an angel will answer. When an angel answers you, you would have also exited that sin. You have left the sin to that person. But if the person answers you, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, faqad ishtaraka fil ajri. The two of them, they have joined, they have combined to earn the rewards of disconnecting, to earn the rewards of reconciling amongst themselves. I think hadith 414 has become clear. We can come to hadith 415. Hadith 415 also addresses one of the things that causes disaffection amongst the people. One of the things that causes disaffection amongst the people is also addressed in hadith 415. And it comes under the chapter heading Babun at-tafriqatu bayna al-ahdath باب التفرقة. باب التفرقة. As you like, you can read it. على الاستئناف. باب التفرقة بين الأحداث. Or you say باب التفرقة بين الأحداث. The chapter about separating young people. Don't allow young people to gather always. 24 hours they are together. Young people are always together, always. Don't allow it. Young people are together always. 24 hours they are just like that together. It is one of the means of evils. One of the means of evils is allowing young people to be together. These days we call it a good name. Hangout. Just sit down and you are talking. Young people. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 of them. They meet on somewhere on the street. They are there just talking, whiling away the time, boiling up the time, wasting the time. Don't allow this to happen. Don't allow it amongst your children. They are just there just talking. And it happens like that all the time. The regular thing. Don't allow it. It is one of the means by which Shaitan finds a way amongst people. When people gather, young people, youth. And unfortunately, the social media itself has come to this. You see people hanging on the Facebook for hours, on WhatsApp for hours. As a group discussion, they are talking. It brings about evil amongst them. May Allah protect us. So Imam al-Bukhari brought this report on the chapter of At-Tafriqatu Bayn al-Ahdath, separating young stars, young boys, young girls. Young girls can just sit down talking every day. The next day, they have a time they sit down to meet. Another day, they have time to sit down to meet, and they are talking. What will come after that thing is evil. What will come after those meeting, hangout, is a problem. And Imam al-Bukhari mentions this report from his sheikh, and he said, rahimahullah, that is hadith 415. It says, haddathana Makhlad ibn Malik, qala haddathana Abdurrahman ibn Maghra, qala haddathana al-Fadl ibn Mubashshar, an Salim ibn Abdullah, an abihi, كان عمر يقول لبنيه إذا أصبحتم فتبددوا كان عمر يقول لبنيه إذا أصبحتم فتبددوا ولا تجتمعوا في دار واحدة فإني أخاف عليكم أن تقاطعوا أو يكون بينكم شر إذا أصبحتم فتبددوا ولا تجتمعوا في دار واحدة فإني أخاف عليكم أن تقاطعوا أو يكون بينكم شر. الإمام البخاري mentions this hadith from his Sheikh مخلد بن مالك أبو جعفر الرازي. مخلد بن مالك, he is Abu Ja'far al-Razi rahimahullah, one of the teachers of Al-Imam al-Bukhari. I always say this, that you are mentioned to be a teacher of Al-Imam al-Bukhari. That itself is a virtue. Someone asks, hey, who is that? He's a teacher of al-Bukhari. He's a thing of virtue in itself. So Makhlad ibn Malik Abu Ja'far al-Razi is the teacher of Al-Imam al-Bukhari in this hadith, the Shaykh of al-Bukhari in this hadith. He said, Haddathana Abdurrahman ibn Maghra, Abu Zuhair al-Kufi. Abdurrahman ibn Maghra, he is Abu Zuhair al-Kufi, rahimahullah, who said, Haddathana al-Fadlu ibn Mubashshar. Al-Fadlu ibn Mubashshar. Some of the scholars, that is Al-Fadl ibn Mubashshirko, هو ابن مبشر. الفضل إس ابن مبشر. لط ابن مبشر. He is ابن مبشر. المبشر the one who brings good news. So his own name is الفضل favors. ابن مبشر the son of good news. The harbinger of good news. The bringer of good news. So he is الفضل ابن مبشر رحمه الله. The scholars are differed about whether he is a trustworthy reporter of hadith or not. But what appears most authentic and Allah knows best is that he is da'if. This reporter الفضل ابن مبشر. He is da'if al-hadith. He is reporting from Salim ibn Abdullah. Salim ibn Abdullah, that is the eminent tabi'i, Salim, the son of Abdullah ibn Umar. Abdullah ibn Umar has a number of children who are very learned. We'd mentioned Bilal earlier today. He also has a son, Abdullah, that's his name. Abdullah is the one who narrated the report about how a person who is sick, who cannot stand up, who wants to sit down to observe Salah. The basic thing is that we want to start Salah, we should stand up a bit. If the person has difficulty standing because of health, now he has to sit down. How does he sit? The person who reported the hadith about how the person sits down is one of the children of Abdullah ibn Umar. And his name was Abdullah. So Abdullah ibn Umar actually has a son whose name was what? Abdullah. He also has what? Bilal. And today we are reading from the hadith of who? Salim. As for Salim, his mother was a freed slave. The mother of Salim was a freed slave. And Salim is the most learned child of Abdullah ibn Umar. The most learned child of Abdullah ibn Umar was who? Salim. But his own mother was a freed slave. In fact, Salim and Al-Hussein, one of the grandchildren of Ali ibn Abi Talib, one of the grandchildren of Hassan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib, Hussein, and Salim, and I think Al-Qasim, the one of the children of, one of the grandchildren of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, the three of them were in Medina, and their mothers were freed slaves, and they were the scholars of Medina in their time. Salim, and who? And Hussein, and who? And Al-Qasim. They were the scholars of Medina in their time. And the three of them, their mothers, from whom their fathers got them, were what? Freed slaves. Before that time, the people of Medina did not used to like to marry freed slaves. But when they saw the scholars, everybody began to go and marry, take a wife from a free slave, hoping that maybe if he meets that free slave, he's going to have a son like Salim, the son of Abdullah ibn Umar, or like Al-Qasim, or like Al-Hussein. So these things like this have happened in the history of Islam. People began to marry their slaves, free the slaves and marry her. Why? I want to have a blessed child, because Salim and the rest of his colleagues were children from freed slaves. Rahimahullah. So this is Salim here in this hadith, reporting from his father, An Abihi. Who is his father? Abdullah ibn Umar. And Ibn Umar is actually also reporting from his own father, Umar, radiallahu anhu, that Kana Umaru yakulu libanih. Abdullah ibn Umar said that Umar, his own father, would say to his children, like what our father used to tell us. Our father would say to us that, إِذَا أَصْبَحْتُمْ فَتَبَدَّدُوا إِذَا أَصْبَحْتُمْ فَتَبَدَّدُوا يعني فَتَفَرَّقُوا. When you wake up in the morning, everybody should go out. Don't just stay at home. Go out. Go and look for something to do. Umar used to say that to his children, رضي الله عنه. When you wake up, go out. Don't just stay at home. Don't forget that we mentioned that this hadith is weak, but the meaning is sound. is the reason why Imam al-Bukhari has placed it in this chapter. So when you wake up, go out. Wake up, go out. Look for something to do in the morning. Don't just stay at home. وَلَا تَجْتَمِعُوا فِي دَارٍ وَاحِدًا. All of you should not just be remaining at home. We'd mentioned three boys from his children now. Abdullah, we'd mentioned Bilal, we'd mentioned Salim. We also know Hafsa, the daughter of the Prophet, the wife of the Prophet, Hafsa bint Umar, the wife of the Prophet. She was from among the children of who? Umar. So all of them, their father did not used to like, hey, go out. When you wake up, go out. Go out and look for something to do. وَلَا تَجْتَمِعُوا فِي دَارٍ وَاحِدَةٍ. All of you should not just be sitting at home. Let us take to this advice. If you have young boys, grown up, don't make them just be at home, sitting down doing nothing. He said, رَحِمَهُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ فَإِنِّي أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ أَن تَقَاطَعُوا. Because I'm afraid if you're always at home, أَن تَقَاطَعُوا, you will fight and you begin to disconnect from yourselves. This one called, oh, no, it's my shoe. Oh, this my, oh, this that, oh, this. Oh, why did he talk to me like that? Am I your mate? Oh, these things will happen among siblings. He said, فَإِنِّي أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ أَن تَقَاطَعُوا. I fear that you begin to disconnect and quarrel amongst yourselves. But that's why you always see parents, conscious parents, when boys have grown up, even during holidays, they don't want them to stay at home. They want them to go and get busy doing something, learning something, meeting people, getting busy with something useful, not just staying at home. Umar radiallahu anhu was reported that he used to say to his children, إذا أصبحتم فتبددوا, when you wake up in the morning, go out. ولا تجتمعوا في دار واحدة, don't sit down in a single house. Morning to night, you're in the house. You are not going anywhere. You are talking. So this you're talking. And this you're hanging out that you are doing. أخاف عليكم أن تقاطعوا. I'm afraid over you that you may begin to hate yourselves and disconnect from yourselves. أو يكون بينكم شر, or one kind of evil will connect, will come amongst you if you are just there. That's how it is always. Even friends, adults, when they are always meeting, sitting down, talking. Their relationship does not last. Because those gatherings, if they are not gatherings and gists and talks of envy, they are gists and talks of riba, backbiting, or slandering, or speaking about things that do not concern them, and the like of that. And that's where gangsterism starts. If you allow your children to do that on the street, you go and be mixing with the boys on the street. Gangsterism starts from there. Many of us saw things like this when we were young. The boys who used to gather at the place where we used to play football, some of us played football, went back home. But some of them will not go back home. They will remain there. The next thing that happens, they start playing cards. The next thing that happens, they start smoking. The next thing that happens, they start smoking in their hand. And then their life became destroyed. The next thing that happened, they joined cults. All these things, we have seen it as we grew up. So when people gather, young people gather, then the next thing that happened after they joined cults, politicians come to be gathering them for political gatherings. They pay them some money, use them as political thugs. So don't allow your children to be going to hangouts. Gangsterism starts from there. And it is from that. I know people, we started attending madrasa together as children. Some of them became killed by the gangs that they joined. So may Allah protect us. Don't allow your children to stay without idle, without doing anything at home. In the worst generation now, we have phones with us. So people do a lot of things on the phones. May Allah protect us. Phones, computers. Engage your young children, your boys. Engage them especially. Likewise, the girls, the youths, the teenagers at home. Engage them. Get them busy doing something. If you don't get them busy doing something, what Umar said will happen. As it's in this hadith, even though the hadith is weak, we see that the meaning is correct. فَإِنِّي أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ أَن تَقَطَعُوا. I'm afraid you may become enemies towards yourself. أَوْ يَكُونَ بَيْنَكُمْ شَرٌ. Or some evil will arise amongst you because you are sitting down doing nothing. And they say the idle mind is usually preoccupied by shaitan. Shaitan will come with a program for them. So when they wake up, Umar radiallahu anhu will tell his children, everybody go and get busy. You go and get do this. You go and do that. You go and do this. Oh, you do this. You do that. So everybody gets busy doing something. Oh, you go to school. Oh, you go and do a work. Oh, you do. People get busy. Even during holidays. I remember that our own parents don't like us to just be at home. They want us, oh, come out with me. Oh, go with me. Oh, go with someone. Oh, go with me. They don't want you to sit down. Because once you sit down, at that time, some of us used to play Scrabble. You bring Scrabbles, you start playing Scrabbles. Especially if it was not time for madrasa and you are on holidays, let's play Scrabble. So in some homes, worse things happen. May Allah protect all of us. So Umar radiallahu anhu is reported in this hadith. But this hadith is weak. It's weak. It has Al-Fadl ibn Mubashir in it, Al-Ansari. And it is a weak report of hadith. But the message in it we'll see from day-to-day life that it is something that is useful. May Allah protect all of us. So why has Al-Imam al-Bukhari brought it? He has brought it as one of the narrations, one of the things that will prevent bad dealings amongst Muslims. Do you understand? We are saying don't nurse grudge, Abi. One of the things that can cause that grudge nursing is that young people are just always together without doing anything. May Allah protect us. Umar used to forbid his children from that. Let us also try to engage our children constructively. Don't allow them just be somewhere. That's why I always, even in schools, don't allow the holidays to be more than 2 weeks so that the children can quickly come back home, back to school. And if the holiday is more than 3 weeks, parents at home should try to engage the children before the children find something to engage themselves. Whether it is something that is harmful or is something that is gainful, the children may not be intelligent enough to determine that. And it may start somehow and end in another way. So parents should be aware. You should know what the children are doing during the times of holiday. If you are sending your children to places to go and enjoy holiday, be sure that that place you have sent them to, they will not go there and meet evil. I remember someone, the person is elderly now, told me that she was dropped somewhere by her mother. And the children of her mother's friend raped her. The children of her mother's friend raped her long ago. So if you are dropping your daughter, be careful where you are dropping your daughter. If you are dropping your son, be careful where you are dropping your son. You know what boys do these days. May Allah protect all of us. Don't send your children to a place you can't guarantee his safety in his religion. Don't send your children. You say, they are enjoying holidays. While you are actually destroying them. You take pride. They flew a plane to Abuja. They flew a plane to London. They flew a plane. You don't know what they are doing there. May Allah protect all of us. May Allah protect our children. I think it will suffice for us to stop here today. Abu Abdurrahman and Abu Yusuf, I have heard the two of you speaking. Can we go on to look at the questions today?
نعم جزاكم الله خيرا يا شيخ.
آمين وأنتم في
الله إليكم.
آمين وأنتم.
نعم. Someone says, we in case of
Abba Yusuf.
نعم السلام عليكم يا شيخنا.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. Go on.
Someone said, if you have a sister-in-law who felt you offended or disconnected from you for more than a year, you have tried many means to reconnect with her, but no avail. The sin of not being forgiven on Mondays and Thursdays, will it be shared by both of us?
No, it will not be shared by the two. That is what we have read today. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, if the person does not answer, you have gone, you have exited. So the sin of not being forgiven on Monday and Thursday, it remains with her. You have exited from that evil. You have started communication. I think that's also connected to a question that I have seen here. You have a disagreement with someone. You call the person, you explained the matter, and the person still does not feel comfortable with the person. You just carry on with your relationship. You have exited trouble. You have left the trouble to that person. The trouble is left with him. You have gone out of trouble. So you are, once you say taslim and you continue upon a good relationship as you used to be with the person, you have gone out of trouble. You have left the trouble to him or to her, as the case may be. May Allah protect us.
Ameen.
Ameen.
Now, another one reads, if a woman with genuine reason seeks kulu from her husband and he refuses, can the court grant her the divorce?
Well, whether it is genuine or not, the court will determine it. If you ask your husband to separate from you and the husband does not grant it, you go to court. Today in Lagos, there are Sharia councils in Oshun too. There is Sharia council. I think it exists. There are Sharia councils in Ibadan too that take charge of things like this. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he spoke about women who seek that their husband should divorce them without genuine reason, they are called mukhtali'at. A woman who is asking her husband, divorce me, divorce me. They are called mukhtali'at. I even heard 3 days ago, a woman sent a message to her husband, whether you agree to divorce me or not, me, I have divorced you. How can a woman divorce her husband? The statement of talaq cannot come from a wife. A wife cannot say to her husband, I divorce you. It's an invalid statement. What you can do, you ask your husband to separate from you. Grant me separation. Grant me freedom. This is called khulu. If it is talaq, it can only come from a man. So a man can seek talaq. A woman can seek khulu. Now, if the woman seeks khulu from a husband, that's why if you want to marry a man, don't just look at, he's comfortable. He's comfortable, as women are doing today. And he's very comfortable. He's very comfortable. That's comfortable, you are married. When you come into the marriage, things will change. Don't just look at comfort. Look at his religion. Bring your parents on board. Women also say, shine your eye very well. A woman cannot shine her eyes enough when it comes to marriage. A woman cannot shine her eyes enough. Involve your male relatives, your father, your uncles, your teachers. Involve them. Even before you say yes, get them involved. Let them help you check and shine your eye. Don't think that you can do it alone. So when you marry a person who is reasonable, if you have a genuine reason to seek to leave the marriage, he will grant it. If he does not grant it, then you can now go to a court. So if you go to a court, the court will investigate the reasons. They will invite him and ask him to grant it. If he refuses, the court can grant you. So this is the procedure to follow. A woman cannot say to her husband, I divorce you. You can't divorce a man. It is a man that can divorce a woman. If a woman seeks to go out of the marriage, she should ask for separation from the man. And that is what is called al-khulu. If he refuses, she can go to the court. But when a woman asks for her husband for divorce without genuine reason, they are called al-mukhtali'at. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, in the hadith of Abu Huraira, he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, al-mukhtali'at hunna munafiqat. Al-mukhtali'at hunna munafiqat. The real hypocrites are women who ask for separation without lawful reason. They ask for separation, no lawful reason. The Prophet called them hypocrites. The hypocrites, munafiqat. They are the real hunna munafiqat. They are the real hypocrites. La yadkhulna al-jannah. They will not enter the paradise. Meaning that at the early times when people who gain Allah's forgiveness quickly enter al-jannah, they will not, unless Allah forgives them. Wala yajidna riha. They will not even smell its fragrance, especially if they think that what they have done is lawful. And it is lawful to go out of marriage without a reason. Just go out. If you behave like this, you are endangering your hereafter. And you make us feel that you are a hypocrite. So don't do that. Ask the man to separate you. If the man does not leave you, go to the court. The court will grant you separation. We should be gentlemanly in our affairs and follow the procedures laid down by the one who has created us. Allahu subhanahu. I hope that is clear about Yusuf.
No, I think I know.
I mean, yesterday there was a question and you repeatedly sent messages to me that we should find an answer to that question. No. Should we mention, it's a simple matter, bismillah. You said that in the hadith of Abu Darda that we read yesterday, that is hadith 412. One of the brothers said it occurs in his own text as al-bughdha. He says, ala wa inna al-bughdha hiya al-haliqa, al-bughdha. And that in other copies, it occurs as al-bighdha. Al-bughdha and what? Al-bighdha. That is how I have also find it in my own copies. I have with me the copy of Huda al-Muhammadi, Maktabatul Huda al-Muhammadi. It occurs in it as al-bughdha. And the copy with the tahqiq of Sheikh Abdullah ibn Abdul Rahman al-Sa'd, it occurs in it also as what? Al-Bughdha, in these two copies of Al-Adab al-Mufrad. It occurs as Al-Bughdha. In the Tahqiq of Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, it occurs as Al-Bighdha. That is a copy of Dar al-Siddiq al-Mu'assasat al-Rayyat. It occurs in it as Al-Bighdha. In the copy of the Tahqiq of Sheikh Isa Musa Hadi, it occurs in it also as Al-Bighdha. In the Tahqiq of Sheikh Isa Musa Hadi was the secretary of Sheikh Al-Bani. I always say Sheikh Isa Musa Hadi is the one who takes care of the library of Sheikh Al-Bani. Rahimahullah. So he's also a learned person. And in the tahqiq of Dr. Muhammad Luqman al-Salafi, Dr. Muhammad Luqman al-Salafi is the one taking care of the library of Sheikh Abdulaziz ibn Abdullah ibn Baz. Sheikh ibn Baz, the person who takes care of his library is Dr. Luqman a Salafi. He's a Pakistani. He's Sheikh Luqman al-Salafi. Muhammad Luqman. Muhammad ibn Luqman al-Salafi. He's the one who takes charge of the library of Sheikh Ibn Baz. I need some. Hey, get me so book. Oh, bring that book. Oh, keep this one there. Oh, keep this file. The one who runs that errand for Sheikh Ibn Baz was Dr. Muhammad Luqman al-Salafi. The one who does that for Sheikh Al-Albani was Sheikh Isam Musa Hadi. We hope that we will grow up to become like these people. We hope that we will have libraries as big as theirs. We beg Allah to also make us beneficial like these people. So in all of these copies, you have Al-Bigda, Al-Bigda, Al-Bigda. But in the first two copies that I mentioned, the Maktaba of Huda al-Muhammadi and the copy of Sheikh Abdurrahman, Abdullah ibn Abdurrahman al-Sa'd. It is what? Al-Bugda. Al-Bugda too means hatred. Al-Bugda means what? Hatred. Naqidul al-Hub. When you love somebody, the opposite of loving him is what? Al-Bugda. As for Al-Bigda with a kafra of on the bar, under the bar, Al-Bigda. The scholars refer to that as Shiddatul Bugd. When Al-Bugda is very severe, it becomes what? Bigda. But the two of them are written in the same way. So perhaps they are read in the same way. Al-Bigda and what? Al-Bugda. Al-Bugda is what? Hatred. Al-Bigda is what? Shiddatul Bugd. When hatred is very, very deep, intense hatred. So the two of them have been mentioned in the various scripts. Unfortunately, I don't have any way to determine which of them actually occurs. Is it Al-Bugda or Al-Bigda? But in terms of the meaning, they are the same. Al-Bugda means hatred. Al-Bigda means severe, deep hatred amongst the people. So if hatred, Al-Bugda, is prohibited, then Al-Bigda is necessarily also prohibited. So they have been reported with these two words in the various copies of Al-Adab al-Mufrad that I have with me. So I think that's a sufficient response for now on that, Abba Yusuf. Can we call it a day today, inshallah?
Assalamu alaikum, Ashikan.
Alaykum salam, Yusuf. Can we call it a day today?
Yes, but a brother has a request.
Naam, what's the request?
He said today is the article of his daughter. We would like you to choose a dunya for the daughter and say a prayer.
May Allah bless the girl. One of the, when Aisha radiallahu anha asked the Prophet to suggest a kunya, the Prophet suggested Umm Abdillah. So I will suggest Umm Abdillah. That's the kunya of Aisha radiallahu anha. Aisha asked the Prophet, everybody has a kunya. Give me one now. So it means someone can ask, suggest kunya, and then you can suggest kunya. So I suggest Umm Abdillah, because the Prophet also suggested Umm Abdillah to Aisha. When Aisha asked for a kunya, the Prophet suggested Umm Abdillah. So may Allah bless the girl. May Allah bless the girl. And make the girl beneficial to the family. Make the girl beneficial to the Ummah. Make the girl amongst the flag bearers of Sunnah and Islam. Inside their house, inside their family, inside their community, and make her a blessed child wherever she goes. Ja'alaha Allahu mubarakatan haythu kanat. Wherever she goes, may Allah make her a person of blessing. What does it mean that Allah makes a person of blessing wherever you go? It means that any gathering where you find her, she will be guiding people to goodness. Any gathering where you find that person, she will be guiding people to goodness. May Allah make this girl to be like that. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. What we have prayed for this girl, may Allah grant it to the rest of us too who have daughters, and the rest of us too who will be having daughters. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Shaykhana, assalamu alaykum.
Amen.